Hi gang, thanks for downloading this classic episode of News Fighters. Just a reminder, if you're looking for new original episodes of News Fighters, they're now over on the Irrational Fear podcast feed. So search for Irrational Fear on your podcasting app or go to irrationalfear.com for all new episodes of News Fighters. In the meantime, enjoy this classic News Fighters episode.
Sans Pants Radio, Australia's most cowardly podcast network.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
This is News Fighters,
where we fight the news
so you don't have to,
with Dylan Behan.
Yes, hello, fighters. Welcome to News Fighters for today, the 14th of August, 2021. News Fighters, helping you buy better. Presented by me, Dylan Behan, the Lionel Messi of wacky news clips. Coming up on today's show, my guest is Dominic Knight from The Chaser, here to talk about their great daily news comedy podcast, The Chaser Report.
We thought if you're going to do a news podcast, make it daily. Go on, make it daily. And we didn't really figure out how much time that would take. So it's become quite a beast.
But first, to our main story.
Zambians are set to go to the polls in what is seen as a crucial election for the future direction of the African nation.
Yes, that's right. Finally, on News Fighters tonight, we're doing a deep dive on the Zambia election. Will President Edgar Lungu receive a second term? No, just kidding. Of course, there's nothing else to talk about. So once again, I'm covering New South Wales's
Delta farce.
Yes, we're in our seventh week of lockdown in Sydney now. And with the Olympics over, I guess for distraction, I'm finally going to have to bite the bullet and start watching reality TV. And this promo for The Block actually really excited me.
Monday, must-see bathroom week begins.
Yes, coincidentally, bathroom week is also how I'll be spending my annual leave this year. Just kidding. I've never had annual leave in my life. Anyways, I'm over this crap. I don't know about you. I'm just over it. I'm tired of COVID. I'm tired of the depressing news every day. Let's just play the depressing montage of clips that shows how badly New South Wales stuffed up the Delta outbreak this week. Roll it.
Gladys Berejiklian has effectively abandoned her target of zero COVID cases as the Delta strain spread to a record number of people today.
This is clearly our third wave.
Overnight, there were 390 new cases recorded.
Less than half of today's cases were isolating while they were sick.
What we are doing isn't working.
It's going to be a rocky few months ahead for New South Wales.
The Premier has revealed life won't start returning to normal until November.
Fears lockdown conditions could extend till Christmas.
The New South Wales government saying today the health system is under stress.
It couldn't be worse. Not right now.
Yes, with Australia basically in its third wave and COVID zero more or less abandoned, Australia has officially reversed Steve Bradbury'd the pandemic. We were within sight of the finish line and we've tripped and fallen and let New Zealand win the race. New Zealand! Yes, and here's New South Wales Premier Gladys Berejiklian summing up where we're at.
You're all gonna die!
Sorry, wrong clip. Here it is.
We now have to live with Delta in one way or another, and that's pretty obvious. And with case numbers where they are, unfortunately, if you live in those local government areas of concern, there is a high chance now that you could get the virus.
Yes, good job, New South Wales. So in summary,
you're all gonna
get the virus.
Thanks, Premier. It's all very depressing right now. I wish someone could just take me back to the beginning of this outbreak when all we cared about were those hilarious sunbakers who startled the deer. Those were the good old days.
Two men sunbaking nude on a beach on the south coast, apparently caught after they were startled by a deer.
They were caught buck naked.
Buck naked.
That old one.
The men were chased into the Royal National Park and got lost,
sparking a search by the SES, paramedics and police helicopter.
Each fined a cheeky $1,000.
Certainly a story that raises more questions than answers.
So anyways, back to today, and things have been getting a bit out of control this week with Delta spreading absolutely everywhere, even to places nobody wants to go.
Well, Canberra's first local COVID case in over a year has sent the ACT into a seven-day lockdown.
The ACT will enter into a seven-day lockdown from 5 p.m. tonight. We also have positive wastewater detections around the ACT.
Yeah, it's hard to believe they managed to detect COVID in the Canberra wastewater over all the weed and fireworks in there. Yes, and with lockdown now, people in Canberra are going to have to do absolutely nothing but at home for a change. Ugh, and I can say that because I lived in Canberra. Thankfully, there has been one upside.
Scott Morrison has an election looming within a year, and he now can't travel the country he governs for the foreseeable future.
Ah, what a shame. COVID's also spreading into rural New South Wales, sending even more places into lockdown.
An outbreak in Dubbo has seen the city go into a seven-day lockdown.
Yes, I'm sorry. Sorry, what? City of Dubbo? Have you even been to Dubbo? That's a little bit generous, don't you think? Lockdowns have even spread to the country music region of rural New South Wales, as if life wasn't depressing there enough already.
Also under lockdown, Armidale and Tamworth.
As a precaution, the health experts have recommended that we lock down Tamworth for 1 week.
Yes, now the men, women, children and dogs of Tamworth and Armidale are now hiding in their homes. And it's not just because Barnaby Joyce is in the area like usual. In fact, most of the population of New South Wales is now in lockdown, but, you know, we like to roll our lockdowns out very, very slowly here, like an art house film release or a life-saving vaccine.
From Byron to Bourke to Shell Harbour and the entirety of Greater Sydney and Hunter Valley, around 90% of the New South Wales population is now locked down.
The local government areas of Walgett, Bogan, Bourke, Brawarrina, Coonamble, Gilgandra, Narromine and Warren will all be under the stay-at-home orders.
If you're having trouble keeping track of where in New South Wales is in lockdown, I recommend setting it to that I've Been Everywhere song.
I've been everywhere. Been to Tullamore, Seymour, Lismore, Mooloolaba.
Walgett, Bogan, Bourke, Brawarrina, Coonamble, Gilgandra, Narromine and Warren.
I've been everywhere, man.
So where did the virus originate from? Well, you won't be surprised to learn that, like all horrible things, it originated from Sydney.
Almost all regional exposures during this outbreak can be linked to Sydney. An infected worker went to the Central West, a young man spreading the virus to Newcastle after going to a party nearby. That outbreak's led to exposures in Armidale and Tamworth. Another man's visit placing Byron Bay in lockdown. The spread intensifying calls for a ring of steel around the city. Police checkpoints on all major roads out.
Yes, experts are saying a ring of steel could help stop the virus spreading out to our vulnerable and under-resourced rural communities. What do you think of that idea, Premier?
The Premier's rejecting calls for a ring of steel around Sydney.
Unless you have literally a police officer outside every single household in New South Wales or on every single road, a ring of steel does not prevent Delta from seeping out.
Yes, forgetting the fact that thanks to our obsession with tollways in this state, Sydney actually only does have like five main roads out of it. But anyways, yes, Premier Berejiklian was firmly against a ring of steel for a very long time, but on Friday night actually announced a paper form of steel, a kind of paperwork permit of steel, if you will.
It's expected also a permit system will be introduced for people who want to leave Sydney, with police checking drivers on major highways out of the city.
Yes, like everything in this outbreak, New South Wales has finally adopted a reactive solution about 6 weeks too late and done slightly differently so it doesn't appear like we copied what Victoria did last year. Good job. Hey, and speaking of which, Gladys is also against another solution Melbourne had last year.
But the Premier is refusing to order a ring of steel surrounding Sydney or a nighttime curfew.
If we thought that they would have a significant or even marginal impact, of course we'd do those things. But there is no evidence to suggest that's the case.
True, though, a curfew might help stop my dodgy neighbours from having people over every single night and the police not caring. I'm sure it could definitely have a marginal impact on stopping a COVID outbreak in my apartment block, which is feeling pretty inevitable these days. Look, I don't want a curfew more than anyone, but I reckon with these case numbers, New South Wales should probably be trying anything and everything that Victoria did, and more. And COVID isn't just taking over our regions, it's also taking over our regional delicacies.
Tonight, thousands of KFC customers ordered to isolate as staff test positive.
A dozen staff at the KFC on Canterbury Road at Punchbowl now have the virus. Anyone who visited the store at any time last week is now a close contact.
Of course, the obvious problem with getting COVID-19 at a KFC is that if you start suffering from a fever, headache, chills and diarrhea, you automatically just blame the KFC you ate. The KFC outbreak highlights that much of the transmission happening in Sydney at the moment is in workplaces. In fact, my local independent chicken shop near where I live closed last Sunday due to a positive COVID case in a worker. And as of Friday night when I'm recording this, it's still not listed on the New South Wales Health Exposure Site list. So good job on the contact tracing there, guys. Really, really instilling confidence. Here's New South Wales Chief Health Officer Kerry Chant discussing how our workplaces are fueling the growth of this outbreak.
This highlights, you have one person introduce it to a workplace. If you then have 12 people that become infected because we don't all maintain our social distancing, and then each of those 12 people will go back to their households and introduce it into their households, and then you'll get that cycle of household transmission.
Yes, too many workplaces and businesses are open, fueling the outbreak, but that's actually the priority from this government. Remember this?
Why is Bunnings open? It's not open in Queensland.
Next question.
Why is Bunnings open?
Yes, and some people are going to work when they're sick because they're not even aware that there's a $1,500 paid pandemic leave payment that they can access because the state government isn't telling them.
Do contact tracers tell them that they are eligible for financial assistance while they quarantine for 14 days?
That's a good question. I'll have to double check that information.
Nine News has confirmed that information is not regularly passed on.
And while New South Wales has been standing firm for over a year now on not paying people to test and isolate like Victoria did last year, looks like this could be about to change.
News is that anyone from Monday who loses wages while waiting for a COVID test result will be eligible for a $320 payment. Now, this will only apply to those living in designated hot zones, and the government is promising people will receive the money within 2 days.
Yes, sadly, $120 less than what Victorians got last year, and it only applies to the hotspot LGAs. So, hey, if you live two blocks away from one of those, sorry, no money for you. So with our biggest problem being too many people are still allowed to go to work and many workplaces still allowed to operate at full capacity, the New South Wales government decided to blame rule breakers.
Today, the Premier took aim at the people continuing to ignore the rules.
Let's not pretend that people are doing the right thing. People are knowingly doing the wrong thing and pretending it's because they didn't understand. Delta does not leave any room for error.
The Premier blames people breaking the stay-at-home order.
We also have to accept that part of the challenge we have in New South Wales is because of lack of compliance.
If people just applied the rules, if they complied with the rules and the law, and they applied an element of common sense and a modicum of decency to the rest of the community, we would be fine. If people just stuck with what they were asked to do, this Delta virus would be finding itself being beaten back into submission.
Oh, and it's much more fun to blame a few bad individuals for doing the wrong thing when the actual problem is your deep-seated systemic addiction to individualism and big business. The New South Wales government is clearly consulting more business leaders than essential workers during this outbreak.
And can I firstly thank industry for really stepping up? The stakeholders in business who've spoken to government about how we can get workers back to work, especially from those areas of high concern at the moment, has been very positive and constructive. And can I please thank all of business leaders, community leaders who've supported us in our efforts?
Yes, the real heroes of this pandemic really were the business leaders and stakeholders. Remember when in the early days of the pandemic, we all stood on our balconies and applauded the business leaders? Yes, thank you, business leaders, for trying to get as many of your workers back to work when it's clearly not safe to do so. Cheers. Oh, and case numbers got so high in Sydney this week that the government allowed even more people to go back to work.
Thousands of Sydney tradies were back at work today after a COVID layoff that cost them 3.5 weeks' pay and the Sydney economy billions of dollars. Some still need vaccinations, but business leaders say even a partial return is a boost for everyone.
Yeah, it's an actual first in this pandemic here in Australia in allowing vaccinated workers back to work first. So I assume that it's all tradies working in these areas that have to be vaccinated, right? Oh, no, wrong.
The Canterbury Bankstown mayor says unvaccinated construction workers from outside the hot zones can still work where they want.
They could potentially bring the virus with them and vice versa.
Oh, great. Well, I guess we know how COVID is spreading all around Sydney then. Good job. Yes, and as New South Wales Health Minister Brad Hazzard says, this making sure everyone goes to work all the time is all about balance.
As I said yesterday, we've tried to balance all the way along through this, keeping our economy open, trying to address mental health.
Yes, the New South Wales government cares about your mental health, except, of course, if you're grieving a lost loved one.
The city's biggest cemetery closes its gates to stop rule breaking.
Rookwood Cemetery, a heartbreaking example of Sydney's life and death struggle.
Brad Hazzard says, why can't they just go and grieve at a Bunnings like a normal person? Keep the flame alive for a loved one with a discounted tiki torch. So with case numbers in New South Wales still going up due to them locking down too late and refusing to institute a lockdown as hard as Victoria did last year, the Premier's solution has turned from getting cases down to vaccinating our way out.
The Premier is banking on vaccinations to bring this crisis under control.
The Premier claims we need more vaccinations, not tougher lockdown rules.
With no end in sight to this outbreak, the Premier is warning the most challenging months are yet to come until the state reaches 70% double dose vaccination.
And can I again issue a plea to say, if you want to get back to work, if you want to get back to normal life, please get vaccinated. Vaccination is key to what we can do potentially in September and October. This has been the experience overseas in provinces throughout Canada, that a targeted vaccination program in those areas of concern has strong evidence of reducing the spread and allowing communities to live more freely. And that's why we're really appealing to people to consider their options.
Oh, yes. Let's follow the Canadian example. I did a whole episode on this earlier in the year. Let me cast my mind back. Oh, now I recall. That's right. Ontario had 9,000 deaths and reached 4,000 cases a day during Toronto's like 8-month lockdown, which saw inside dining in some restaurants closed for over a year and children's hospitals forced to admit adult patients into their ICUs, all because their similarly pro-business, pro-freedom Premier Doug Ford refused to lock down early and hard and tried to vaccinate his way out. That's a great example for you to follow, you absolute morons. And that was only with the Alpha variant.
You know, we're trying to, as I mentioned yesterday, Rob, we're trying to have this happy balance. And it's extremely hard.
I've never been in favor of a curfew. And I'm going to tell you the reason why I've never been in favor of a curfew. And that's a hard, hard lockdown. Cars aren't driving around, nothing at all. Because I believe in the people of Ontario. And as soon as you tell the people of Ontario, you've lost trust and we're going to have police chasing you down the street when you're driving, that's it, it's game over, you might as well throw in the white flag. Please, please, just follow the protocols.
And much like Doug Ford in Ontario, instead of taking responsibility for their own delays, errors, politically biased, bad decision-making and a total lack of understanding of how everyday people live in the state, the New South Wales government is just blaming their own constituents.
Good evening. Stupidity, arrogance and entitlement. That's what the health minister says is causing our COVID numbers to spike.
You can't legislate against stupidity, arrogance and entitlement.
Yes, that's right. You can't legislate against stupidity, arrogance and entitlement, but you can vote it out at the next state election.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Okay, joining me now on News Fighters is one of the co-founders of The Chaser and co-host of The Chaser Report daily podcast. It's Dom Knight. How are you going, Dom?
Good. How are you, Dylan? When I say good, adjust that for the pandemic. It's actually terribly, but good relative to how I've been on other days during this lockdown.
Tell me the idea behind it and when did it start? It's a daily news comedy podcast. What insanity was this? But also good timing because there's a lot of news on, right?
There's a lot of time. Yeah. So last year we did a Chaser Report podcast, which is kind of an extension of the radio show that we've been doing, but was perfectly timed because we were all at home and couldn't get together. Yeah. So
that was weekly. That was a weekly show.
Yeah, it was weekly. That was very manageable. Easy. It was luxurious, frankly, in hindsight, Dylan. But then coming into this year, we just sort of thought, you know, they come out each week. By the time they've dropped, they're not even that topical anymore because we've had to edit them and whatever. Mm. We thought if you're going to do a news podcast, make it daily.
Mm.
Go on, make it daily. And we didn't really figure out how much time that would take. So it's become quite a beast producing this thing daily.
So you took the weekly show and you're like, we want to do five times as much work. That was basically the idea.
Yeah. Well, it's just been such a fun outlet for comment. I mean, firstly, the news cycle is so fast that it's not the only way to deal with it. But also we've got this team of interns now who work for Charles primarily, who runs the Chaser Digital business. But he's got all these young people who are really keen and bright-eyed like we all were 20 years ago. And they are great, but they do a lot of the heavy lifting. They do a lot of the sketch production and editing and bits and pieces. So it's really good having them, and they're really keen to come up with new ideas and so on. So it's not just me and Charles jadedly bitching about the state of the world. That's about 80% of the podcast.
And tell me some more about the team. I know Gabby Bolt, who I've worked with on Irrational Fear, is on there. Who else?
Yeah,
who else
so
is
Gabby's
involved?
Yep. Gabby's a massive star of the future. We have Lachlan Hodgson, who does a lot of the writing for the website. We've got Xander Savanya, who's a bit of an audio whiz, and Alexa Vulovic. He's done some of the stunts. So there's an amazing stunt that he did where he infiltrated a sort of arms conference, like literally a weapons sales conference. It's all up on the Chaser website to go and look at it's all up on the Chaser Facebook, actually, to go and look at the video. And he brought a bag full of, like, plastic arms.
There you go.
Is such a dumb stunt. It's very reminiscent of our
very wouldn't be a Chaser moments. Stunt without some wacky props, would it?
Wacky props, that's right. Exactly it. So, but they're great because they want to go out and do all that kind of stuff. And the pandemic has made things very challenging in terms of audio production and just not being able to get in the same room, but we're just muddling through and we still haven't given up the daily podcasting dream just yet, Dylan. It's probably next week.
And look, I worked on Tonightly and I love the catharsis of making daily comedy. Are you loving that as well? Like something, ScoMo says something and you can poke fun at it straight away before it gets old. Like surely you must enjoy that side of it, doing it daily.
Well, yeah, it's like, I mean, we really like doing the daily radio show that we did, and I've done a lot of daily radio just sort of solo with more serious bent. It is great because you need to have that immediacy or it's just old news. And so I think that's the big advantage of doing things daily. Mm. Ironically, most of the daily podcasts actually take a bit of a deep dive. So when you first listen to like the New York Times, the Daily or 7 a.m. or something, you think, wow, okay, this is a great way to find out about today's news. But it's not that at all. It's actually a more considered reflection of what's going on and looking at what it all means and so on. We don't do any of that.
Great.
We just jump on the news bombs as they explode.
And you do a lot of great interviews. Who are some of the people you interview on a regular basis? And you're trying to do more political interviews. I saw you had the Deputy Premier of Queensland on the other day as well.
That was bizarre, Dylan. A man who actually runs a state had made half an hour or whatever it was to come and talk to us. That was really lovely of Stephen Miles, actually. And he's a funny guy, so it worked quite well. But, yeah, I mean, as with things like The Daily Show, we found that a great way to pad out the podcast is to include interviews. But
no comment, no comment.
Yeah, it's also great fun because it means you can get other perspectives. So Sammy Shah comes on our show
every week.
He is also on Rational Fear and many other things too. But he's great because he gives you that Melbourne perspective and also
the ha-ha sucked in Sydney angle.
Yes, that's right, which we desperately need. And his comedy brain works differently from ours, and he's just so brilliant and amazing. So we just tend to sit back and just listen to what he has to say, and he's always got some brilliant take on everything. So it is nice having more voices in it. And were we not daily, you simply couldn't do that. There wouldn't be enough time and space to let people kind of do their thing. And so that's the other plus of it being daily. There's a whole bunch of people. I mean, Gabby's a perfect case in point. She is so brilliant, but I don't know, we wouldn't be able to use it nearly as much if it was just a weekly kind of get together.
It was the same thing on Tonightly. We had half an hour to fill every day. So if Greg Larson wants to roll around in oil, go for it. We've got the time.
Yeah. and we haven't managed to get Greg Larson rolling around in some substance yet. But look, maybe what we'll do is try and get a whole barrel full of AstraZeneca and just see what we can do to get him roll around in that and try and defeat vaccine hesitancy, although that might backfire.
And how do you have the energy to do it every day? Because I did a week of daily pilots of News Fighters a couple of years ago, and I was exhausted for weeks afterwards. How are you doing this week in and week out? Are you taking a week off every month or so, or how are you doing it?
No, we haven't taken a break yet. Charles took 2 weeks off, but Danny Litch jumped in, so we kept the daily machine going. Look, there's a combination of things. First is I do have a bit of time to do this. It probably takes up about half my day each day at the moment. But we aren't nearly as thorough as you, Dylan. We don't rigorously assemble clips and do research and get all that sort of stuff. So if you're just talking about what's happened, we do occasionally put clips in. But if you're not trying to be kind of comprehensive, if you're just picking a few topics randomly, and sometimes it'll just be like, we're about to do our outro, and I'll notice a story saying that the two founders of Hillsong have got a special exemption to go and preach in Mexico.
Yes, I saw that.
And you kind
that,
of think, oh, God, let's talk about that. So it's quite spontaneous. Despite being a podcast, doing the volume that we do, you just got to take a run at things sometimes, and that's sometimes some of the stuff that works best.
And there's been no shortage of material lately, a lot of insane stuff happening, but have you got a backup plan in case there's a massacre or a really depressing day of news or an earthquake or something? Like, what are you going to do then?
Well, one of the nice things is that because we did this radio show, we came up with various segments. So there's some things that we do that do not rely particularly on topicality. So Welcome to the Future, which is where Charles looks at ridiculous Bluetooth devices. That's kind of evergreen. Craig comes up with flawless solutions to things like climate change, which are just ongoing things. So it's not necessarily all in the news cycle. And you can kind of tell from how many segments that we have like that in the mix, how hard we've been keen to work on any given day. But to be honest, there's been so much happening with COVID and the ongoing kind of omni-shambles of the government's response. And being in lockdown in Sydney and just the frustration with that, we've been not at all short for material. I actually would like, Dylan, to have some quieter news days and having the problem of working out what to do to fill the podcast, because it's just been nuts since we started this thing in late May.
Well, look, it's, you know, it's dark times, and it's exactly what Australia needs right now. And is it weird no one else around the world has tried to do this? Because when I was thinking of doing a daily show, there was no one else. I think other people have tried it and given up because it's just too hard. Does that worry you?
There are daily comedy podcasts.
Yeah, but they're Matt all pre-recorded.
Do one.
Oh, yeah, Matt and then, Alex. Yep.
They're not as... Yeah, so Matt and Alex, I think, get together every day, and I'm not entirely sure. It's less news-driven than ours. And that's the thing. Being news-driven is you're really creating a rod for your own back. But so far, we absolutely love it, and it's been one of the most fun projects you can do. And the one lazy thing we did do was on Monday, we just did a like half-hour-long interview with Sarah Kendall, a comedian from the UK, about Freedom Day over there. So we might do a bit more of that as the year rolls along. But to be honest, being able to talk about the news every day is such an incredible privilege, and there's so much to cover that, I think we're just getting started.
best of luck. It's an incredible feat to pull this off. I hope you manage to do it without all burning out like we all did on Tonightly multiple times.
Well, to be honest, we did have grand plans to do things with video, as we talked to you about before, because you're an expert at that kind of stuff.
Too hard basket.
We haven't even bothered trying to solve that challenge yet. So, I mean, I've just been looking at Joe Rogan, who manages to do these like 3-hour-long interviews many, many days of the week, and just thinking, gosh, you know, it'd be nice to be able to produce daily video. That's the next big hurdle we may or may not be stupid enough to try and undertake at some point.
And what about TV stuff? Do you miss the Chaser TV stuff? Surely this is a lot easier because you can do it from home and don't have to dress up.
Yes, well, I mean, I was behind the scenes mostly in the Chaser TV show, so that's a lot easier. But yeah, I miss the days of having an idea and getting a stupid prop commissioned overnight and going and taking it out into the street. But we're all in our mid to late 40s now, Dylan. I think there comes a point where
John Howard would outrun us.
That's actually true. I think there comes a point where you've got to let the younger generation take over. And we have these, we call them interns, but they're really just younger versions of us. And I think there's a lot of potential for them to go and annoy a lot of people, particularly if there's an election coming up at the beginning of next year.
And is that the rumour? I was hearing late this year, but I think
ScoMo's stuffed Morrison, up. If you were Scott Morrison, would you go to the polls now? Actually, given his track record of decision-making, you probably would.
Absolutely, absolutely. All right, thanks again, Dom. And where can people find the show?
Just put the Chaser Report into your podcast app of choice or go to chaser.com.au/podcast.
Brilliant. All right, thanks for that, Dom. Catch you around.
Thanks, mate.
All right, that's Newsfighters for today, whatever day it is, August 2021, Newsfighters. Oh, thanks for Dom for being on the show. Check out the Chaser Report podcast. It's really good. It's kind of what I wanted Newsfighters to be, but I couldn't get any funding. Newsfighters is written, presented, and produced by me, Dylan Bain. I make news comedy. Someone pay me to do it. Subscribe to the show on Apple Podcasts, patreon.com/newsfighters. Give me money. buymeacoffee.com/newsfighters. We don't advertise on Facebook. They're evil. So sign up for our newsletter at newsfighters.com. Get vaccinated, wear a mask. Oh, we're on Twitter and Instagram, you know the deal. Give me money. All right, see you later. Bye.
This is News Fighters, where we fight the news so you don't have to.
You can't legislate against stupidity.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.